Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter-Telegram obituaries, published Friday, February 4th. Anastasio Tacho Luera Reyes. Anastasio Tacho Luera Reyes, age 88, went to be with our Lord on January 31, 2022. He was born April 25, 1933, in Midland, Texas, to Marihildo Reyes Sr. and Eusebia Luera Reyes. He married Margarita Garcia September 28, 1957, and were married for 64 years and had three children. He is survived by his wife, Margarita Garcia Reyes, and his sons Ramon and wife Tommy Reyes of Midland, and Oscar Reyes of Lubbock, plus grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his daughter, Rosalinda Reyes Garcia. Viewing will be held on Thursday, February 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. The rosary will be held on Thursday, February 3rd at 7 p.m., and Mass will be held Friday, February 4th, 2022 at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, with interment at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery following the service. The family is requesting anyone attending the services to wear a mask due to the ongoing pandemic. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Bradley Kirk Wright, 1959 to 2022. On the evening of Friday, the 28th of January, 2022, Bradley Kirk Wright parted this life in the presence of his wife, Catherine, their youngest son, Chandler, and entered his heavenly home with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He leaves his wife, Catherine, of 40 years, and their children, Jeremiah, Austin, and Chandler, along with wife to Chandler, Christine Wright, and granddaughters Megan, Grace, and Caitlin. The youngest of five, Brad was born in Midland to Durward and Barbara Wright on May 15, 1959. Predeceased by his parents, Brad leaves to cherish his memory brother Greg Wright and wife Christy, sister Cynthia Crutcher and husband Bill, brother Richard Wright and brother Garth Wright and wife Sabrina. Also numerous nieces and nephews and an ongoing count of great nieces and nephews. Celebration of Life will be held at Grace Bible Church, located at 11306 Inwood Road in Dallas, Texas, 75229, on February 7th, Monday at 1 p.m., live streamed at 1 p.m. on Monday also. Go to gracebiblechurch.org to find it. Also on Grace Bible Church Dallas on YouTube. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to the NFL Alumni's Caring for Kids in Bradley Wright's name, nflalumni.org. Cecil Wallace Vest. Cecil Wallace Vest, 86, passed away peacefully on January 13, 2022, at the Texas Loving Care Living Center in Madisonville, Texas. He was born October 2, 1935, in Brownfield, Texas, to Cecil Henry and Leela Mae Allen Vest. Cecil married his wife, Frances Lee Clear, on February 12, 1954, and they shared 67 wonderful years together. Cecil was preceded in death by his wife, Frances Lee Vest, father, Cecil Henry Vest, mother, Lila Mae Vest, brother, Charles Vest, sisters, Betty Vest, Wanda Appler, and Phyllis Brown. His legacy lives on in his sons, Cecil L. and wife Kim Vest of Midland, Dwayne Vest of Dallas, and Stephen and wife Christine Vest of Leona. Daughter-in-law, Laura Vest, grandchildren, C.J. Vest, Keith Vest, Zachary Vest, Matthew Vest, Nicole Simpson, and Dr. Andrew Vest, and 8 great-grandchildren. Arrangements are under the direction of Walter's Funeral Home, Centerville, Texas, www.waltersfuneralhome.com. A memorial service will be held at 12 noon, Saturday, February 5th, at Church in the Wind, 1001 Austin Street, Midland, Texas, 79703. Chad Landon Knight. Chad Landon Knight, 41, of Midland, passed away July 18, 2021. Chad was born January 3, 1980, to Donald and Sandra Knight in Midland, Texas, where he grew up and lived the majority of his life. Chad and his wife Jenny were married August 11, 2012, in Timi, New Mexico, and have raised their daughter Annabelle, 6. Chad worked in the oil and gas industry. Chad is survived by his wife Jenny, son Christian, daughter Annabelle, mother Sandra Knight, father Donald Knight, stepmother Celinda Knight, maternal grandmother Joan Bridenstine, siblings Megan, Katie, Nick, and Juliana, and numerous aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, extended family, and close friends. Chad is preceded in death by his sister Jennifer, paternal grandparents Donald and Helen Knight, and maternal grandfather Robert Bridenstine. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, February 5th at the branch at NPW. Arrangements under the direction of Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. George Rice Dreher. George Rice Dreher died January 23, 2022, in the place that he loved, his home in Llano, New Mexico. He was 71 years old. George will be honored in a celebration of life at Mystic Congregational Church in Mystic, Connecticut, on Saturday, February 5th at 11 a.m. The service will be live-streamed for those who cannot attend in person. Go to www.mykeeper.com/profile/George Dreher for details. In lieu of flowers, donations are welcome to the Mystic Congregational Church in George's memory. Peggy Williams. On Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, in Midland, Texas, Peggy Ann Williams went to be with her Lord and Savior. On September 3rd, 1934, she was born in Wichita Falls, Texas, to Vernon and Annie Lamb. Peggy is preceded in death by her husband, Bill Williams, and son-in-law, Vicente Villarreal, Jr., her parents, Vernon and Annie Lamb, her brother, Jerry Lamb, sister, Frances Huggins, and husband, Ralph. Peggy is survived by 2 children, Billy, wife, Kelly, and daughter, Julie, as well as 4 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. The celebration for Peggy's life will be at the branch at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland, NPW, at 10 a.m. Monday, February 7th. A viewing will be held Sunday, February 6th between 5 to 7 p.m. at the branch at NPW. NPW is located at 3800 North Big Spring Avenue, Midland, 79705. Arrangements under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Ralph Lacey Way. Ralph Lacey Way went to be with his Lord and Savior at the age of 85 on January 27, 2022, at his home in Midland, Texas. Ralph was born October 23, 1936, in Texon, Texas, to Lacey Dan and Doris Pembroke Way. He is preceded in death by his parents, wife Ann McCabe Way, sister Linda Way, and brother Richard Way. He is survived by his five daughters, Karen Davis and husband Rick, Carol Ann Eads and husband Rusty, Catherine Jackson and husband Rick, Christy Jones and husband Rob, Kimberly Montgomery and husband Ben. He is adored by his 16 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren. Ralph is also preceded in death by Ann's son, Jerry McCabe, and survived by Ann's sons, Mike McCabe and wife Diana, Terry McCabe and wife Anna, Todd McCabe, Yvette McCabe, wife of Jerry McCabe, and Ann's grandchildren. A memorial service celebrating Ralph's life will be held at First United Methodist Church of Midland on February 5th, 2022 at 10, preceded by the graveside at Rest Haven Cemetery at 9. Donations to honor his memory, if desired, may be made to Texas Tech Foundation Incorporated, Texas Tech University System, Financial Services, Box 45025, Lubbock, Texas 79409. Midland College Foundation, 3600 North Garfield, PAD 141, Midland, Texas 79705. Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas. Or to the charity of your choice. Arrangements under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Death notices. Jose Angel Rangel. Jose Angel Rangel, 84 of Midland, passed away Wednesday, January 26th. Viewing will be held Monday, February 7th from 1:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Rosary at 7 p.m. Monday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral services Tuesday, February 8th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home.
Hello, this is April reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 30, 2022. Find the right app for your spam managing needs. It's geek to me. Jeff Werner. Werner is a software engineer and has been writing this column since 2007. You can find his past articles at itsgeektome.co. Question. After a recent update on my iPhone 12, I started getting numerous junk emails messages in my Gmail account on my iPhone. They do go to my junk folder, but then I have to delete the messages there and then go to trash folder to delete them again. I've tried blocking them, but there are way too many to block each individually. The junk email does not come into my Gmail account when I access it on my HP computer using Microsoft Outlook 2016. Is there a way to get these messages to delete without going through the two-step delete process? Paul H., Niceville, Florida. Answer. I think it's possible that you may be attributing a few functions and behaviors to parts and pieces that don't really have anything to do with one another, Paul. First of all, I can practically guarantee that updating the iOS on your phone had nothing to do with the amount of spam that you receive. Perhaps you noticed it after the upgrade, but the spam was likely arriving prior to that point. The iPhone has a robust email feature built in, but it does not have anything to do with the content that is emailed to you and doesn't even have any control over whether a given message is marked as spam and sent to the junk folder. That's purely a function of Gmail itself. Let's talk a little about Gmail for a moment. Gmail is more than the typical email service that you might get as part of a package that you purchase from a service provider. The user experience that you receive varies depending on how you view your mail. The options include using your favorite browser to view Gmail's web mail service. There is also a dedicated Gmail app that handles messages slightly differently than other email clients that you might use. For example, your use of the term junk folder tells me that you're likely using your iPhone's built-in email function. If you were using webmail or the Gmail app, the folder is called spam. Now, I mentioned that the Gmail app handles messages slightly differently than other mail clients. One major difference is that in the Gmail app, when you delete a message from the spam folder, it's actually deleted. That is, it's gone, never to be seen again. If you do the same thing in other email clients, you're probably going to experience what you described, which is to say messages aren't actually deleted, they're merely moved to the trash folder. Once relegated to the trash, they will hang around forever unless you either delete them a second time or you empty the trash folder. Without seeing your Outlook configuration, I can only hazard a guess. But my guess is that one of two things is happening. Either Outlook has been told not to download the contents of the spam folder from the Gmail server, or there is some secondary process, usually called a rule in Outlook, that is handling spam messages so that you don't see them, such as directly deleting them as they arrive. It doesn't mean you aren't getting spam, it just means it's being automatically handled for you. That's risky, since you'll automatically lose any messages that accidentally get marked as spam. Your attempts to block the addresses from which spam originates are noble, but you're fighting a battle you can never win. The only messages you'll successfully block are those from legitimate mailing lists, and you could just as easily unsubscribe from those. The insidious and unwelcome ads that probably comprise the bulk of your spam come from people who create a free email address to use once. They blast out a few thousand spam emails, then they abandon the address and create another. So you're blocking addresses from which you'll never get another email. I already answered your main question about how to delete messages in one step. Use the Gmail app instead of a mail client. But it's worth mentioning that there's really no reason for you to continually delete spam messages at all. Gmail itself automatically deletes anything in the spam folder that's over 30 days old. So no matter which method you use to read your mail, if you just leave it alone, it will maintain itself. To view additional content, comment on articles, or submit a question of your own, visit my website at itsgeektome.co/.com. Beware of phony forms when signing up for free COVID-19 test. Start with trust. Heather Massey. Massey is the Vice President of Communications of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. Check out www.bbb.org or call 563-1880. U.S. households can now request free at-home COVID-19 test kits. However, as is the case with other major government initiatives, such as stimulus checks, scammers are sure to try to take advantage. This time, be on the lookout for look-alike websites when requesting your tests. These scam sites may ask for payment or personal information, such as your social security number. How the scam works. You see a post or ad on social media or receive an unsolicited email or text about the free COVID-19 tests. These communications urge you to request your free tests immediately by clicking on a link. You follow the link to a website that looks official at first glance. It may have the United States Postal Service USPS logo, just like the actual website. It also has a form to request your tests. However, when you start filling out the form, you notice something unusual. This fake version may ask you for personal information, such as your Social Security number or Medicare ID. It could also request your credit card details under the guise of needing to pay for shipping. The actual website does not ask for payment or your SSN. Before you know it, you have given up your information to a scammer. Tips for identifying a fake website. Look closely at the domain name. One way fake websites trick people is by using a domain name that is extremely close to an actual business's or organization's domain name. For example, the correct COVID-19 test request website is special.usps.com/test-kits. Scammers may swap two letters or make a slight misspelling. If you find a spelling error in the domain name, you're not on the official site, and it is best to close the tab. Also, check if the website is secure by verifying it has a lock icon in the URL and includes HTTPS. Watch out for tricky subdomains. Sometimes attackers hope you will confuse a subdomain with the domain name. For example, a scammer might use the website address usps.faketestkit.com, hoping you won't notice that faketestkit.com is not the correct domain name. A domain name is the word or words directly before the top-level domain, .com, .org, .gov, etc., as well as the top-level domain. In this case, the domain name is actually faketestkit.com with the subdomain USPS, whereas the correct website's domain name is usps.com with a subdomain of special. The correct website asks only for your name and address. You do not need to pay for the tests using the government program, even for shipping, and you will not be asked for insurance details, your social security number, or any other sensitive information. For more information, visit bbb.org to learn more about identifying fake websites and spotting imposter scams. Read about other popular COVID-19 scams and additional testing scams. If you've spotted a scam, report it to BBB Scam Tracker, even if you didn't fall victim or lose any money. Your report can help others avoid common scam tactics.
What is the right amount of sleep? Dear Dr. Roach, up until recently, the recommended amount of sleep was 7.5 to 8 hours per night. Now, all of a sudden, some studies say individuals getting more than 6.5 or less than 3 are headed for dementia. What's the consensus about sleep? MS. Answer. Studies are published all the time, so often that it makes my job a challenge, and those that upend the standard teaching tend to get airplay in the media. However, I think there is a consensus based on decades of sleep research, and that is that lower amounts of sleep are not good for you, neither for your length of life nor for the likelihood of developing dementia. A very well-done study was just published confirming that persistent short sleep duration, defined as 6 or fewer hours, during their 50s, 60s, and 70s, puts people at a roughly 30% increased risk of dementia. Long sleep duration, that is, greater than 8 hours, was associated with a lesser but still increased risk of dementia. However, People who sleep much longer than the average may have an underlying condition that puts them at increased risk, rather than it being the sleep itself. When the authors of the study adjusted for additional conditions, the effect of long sleep on dementia was no longer significant. The optimal amount of sleep for overall health still appears to be around 7 hours. But every person is different. People who feel well-rested with less sleep and who naturally wake up at a given time, rather than force themselves to get up, are at lower risk for development of complications of poor sleep. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Man wonders how to mention wife as he begins dating. Dear Abby, for Friday, February 4th. Dear Abby, my wife and I have been married for 40 years. 15 years ago, she was diagnosed with cancer and given 18 months to live. Well, she is still around. Because of the illness and experimental medications, she was bedridden, and her dementia grew steadily worse. Left with no other options because of problems with insurance, I placed her into a nursing facility 6 years ago. I am still at an age at which I have, I hope, many active years ahead of me. I visit her often, but I have a need for companionship that she obviously can no longer fulfill. I'm friends with a few women, usually friends of friends, and from time to time have the urge to become closer. I go out to dinner, music venues, art shows, etc. I am torn about whether to live my remaining days in loneliness or pursue the possibilities. Is it wrong to want companionship in my situation? At what point should I explain my situation without scaring off a nice lady friend? Your opinion would be helpful to me as another perspective. Anonymous, of course. Dear Anonymous, what happened to your wife is unfortunate, and you both have my sympathy. Wanting and needing companionship are normal. It is important to ask yourself, if the situation were reversed and you were in a nursing home suffering from dementia, to what extent would you want your wife to go on with her life? Whatever you decide after that, it is crucial you not forget you have a responsibility to make sure she is being well cared for. This means visiting her often to ensure it, because dementia patients do better when they know someone loves them. As to how to explain to women that you are married, well, the ones who are friends of friends already know that. And those you meet who don't know should be told during the course of your first serious conversation. It's the honorable thing to do. Dear Abby, I got married 6 months ago to an awesome guy. Now we're expecting. Although I don't want the child, I am trying hard to want it. But I keep coming back to overwhelmingly regret because it is too soon. I know this means the world to him. Truly, he is amazing, but his light is my doom. I need time away from him to see how I feel. We are never apart, and it's making me irritable, like I have nothing of my own anymore. He's always there. I suppose it is a good thing, but I can't breathe. What do I do? I feel like an awful wife in person now. What if the baby comes and I turn into some evil mom? Neurotic in Nevada. Dear Neurotic, healthy relationships, marriage included, are all about honest communication. Tell your amazing husband you need time alone to recharge and process your thoughts. Was he this way before you were married, or could it be because you are pregnant and, in his eyes, vulnerable? You are not an awful person for needing alone time, and it won't make you an evil mom, so calm your fears. You may just need respite, which you won't receive until you make it known. Because I assume you are seeing your OBGYN regularly, it is important you discuss the emotions you are experiencing with them. You may also be suffering from depression, which some pregnant women do. Your feelings may also be normal, considering your pregnancy was not planned.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.